All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Chaf Aleph. We're picking up right on the top of Chaf Aleph. Ula Arif HaSegos. Remember again, the Mishnah spoke about all of the things. The Mishnah spoke about all of the things that could be done by Yom, and therefore the Mishnah established the rule that anything can be done by Yom during the day can be done throughout the entire day. So it says the Gemara, Amri Debe Rabbi Yanai. So they said in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, how do we know that Arifa, remember, Egla Arufa is the decapitated calf, as I explained yesterday. So says Rabbi Yanai, how do we know that? Kapara Ksiv Baki Kachim, that it uses the word Kapara by the decapitated calf, just like it does by Kachim. And just like we saw by yesterday's daf, that by kachim it can be done throughout the entire day. So to Egla Arufa, the process of the decapitated calf can be done throughout the entire day as well. Ulataras ha-metzora, and there's the ability to be metair the metzora, to purify the person with saras throughout the entire day. Dechsid, because the pasuk says, Zos tiyeh toras ha-metzora biyom taharaso. Because the pasuk says, this will be the law of the metzora on the day on which he is purified. Kalalaila kosher l'ktziras ha'omer. Remember again, the Mishnah said that the entire night is kosher for the harvesting of the, remember, the barley for the omer was harvested on the second night of Pesach. What is really the first night of Chol HaMoed? That's when the omer is harvested. The Amar Mar ktzira usefira balayla v'havaa bayom. Because Mar said that the harvesting, as well as the counting, is done at night, vava, but the actual bringing is done by day. So you see from it, just from this statement, that lemaisa again, the entire night is kosher for the harvesting. So the Gemara and Rashi says over here, Tamar Ktsira Usfira Balaila V'yalef L'Mesechas Minachus Mikroi. Obviously, I'll say everything else is being learned out from a pasuk. This is going to be no different. And Mesechas Minachus learns it out that the cutting of the Omer was done at night. Ula Hekter Chalovim Ve'Evarim, and for the offering of the forbidden fats. Excuse me, not forbidden fats, just fats. Well, they are forbidden. Sacrificial fats and the limbs, leftover limbs of the animal. That's done all night as well. Dichsid, because the pasuk says, Kol halayla ad haboker. Because the pasuk says, you shall go ahead and burn these on the mizbeach the entire night until morning, which clearly states that lamaisa, you have the entire night on which to do this. Zeha klal, this is the rule. So the Mishnah said, here is the general principle. Anything, which any mitzvah that applies by day, by definition applies all day. Meaning that, I'm about to say, any mitzvah that it could be done by day, you have the entire day to do it. And conversely, any mitzvah for which you have the entire night, you have the entire night to do it as well. So the Gemara says, Zakla, this is the rule. La suye mai. Now, I'm about to say, whenever a Mishnah, now here's what's interesting about just stylistically about the Mishnah. So the Mishnah gives a list of things that whose mitzvah is by day, and the Mishnah therefore says they can be done all day. Then the Mishnah states a principle. This is the rule. Whenever you see that stylistically, it means that the principle must be coming to include other things that were not explicitly stated in the Mishnah. Because otherwise, again, why the need for the rule if everything's been stated? So the Gemara says, Zaklal Asuemai, what else are you coming to include with that statement that was not already explicitly stated in the Mishnah? To which the Gemara answers, Sidur Bazichin V'Siluk Bazichin. I will say, it's referring to Bazichin, I will say, are the spoons. What this refers to is on the shulchan with the lechem upon him, there are spoons of frankincense. Remember again, the lechem upon him are changed over once a week. This is showbread, are changed over once a week and given to, actually split between the incoming shift of Kohanim and the outgoing shift of Kohanim, as we learn, Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara says that when they would change the breads, they would also change the spoon of frankincense that was there of Lavona. So therefore, again, the Mishnah says that it comes to include the fact that you have the entire day on which to go out and change the spoons. What does that mean? Uk Rabbi Yossi, and this is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi say? Disanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer Silekes Hayeshana Shachris is very interesting. If you removed the old ones in the morning, the Sidir Esachadosha Arvis, and you only put the new ones on in the evening, Ein Bekach Klum. There is no problem. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Uk Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, "Arm Maseches Menachos, Afilu Silekes Hayeshana Shachris, V'Sidir Es Hachadosha Arvis, Af Zu Haisa Tamid, Uma Tamid, Shelo Yalin Shulchan Below Lechem." But this is actually very interesting. that according to Rabbi Yossi holds that if you took off the old breads in the morning, last week, or the bazichin, the spoons, I should say, of frankincense in the morning, and you didn't immediately replace it, let's say you didn't put it on until later on in the afternoon, closer to nightfall, Rabbi Yossi says it's not a problem. What about the fact that the Pasuk says, Lifnei Hashem Tamid? The Pasuk says that again, remember that Pasuk is saying, Venasata ala shulchan, lechem panim tamid. So the Torah itself says, lechem panim has to be on the shulchan at all times. So now again, you could have an entire day then, technically, where there's no bread on the shulchan, to which Rabbi Yossi responds, back to the Gemara now, Shelo yehe shulchan below lechem. What it means is that the shulchan should not be without bread overnight. So we'll say, therefore, again, according to what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. What the Mishnah is coming to include is the following case, that Lamaisa, if you took the Shlechem Aponim and the Bazichin off the Shulchan, so we always assume that Lamaisa, you must immediately replace the Bazichin, the spoons of frankincense, and the Lechem on the Shulchan. Why? Because the Pasuk itself says, Lefnei Hashem Tamid, that the Shulchan cannot be without bread. Comes along Rabbi Yossi and says, no. In fact, again, you have the entire day in which to go ahead and replace the new Lechem and the new Bazichin. What about the Pasuk of Lefnei Hashem Tamid? That Pasuk is coming to teach you that what? The Shulchan may not remain overnight without bread. But you have the entire day in which to go ahead and replace the old bread that has already been removed. Okay, says the Gemara. Kol davar shemitzaso b'layla kasha kol layla. Similarly, anything that is kasha the entire night can be done the entire night. La asuye, what does this come to include? To which the Gemara says, La asuye achilas psochim. It comes to include that you could eat Karban Pesach the entire night. And Rabbi say again, Udelok Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, and not like Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, because what does Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah say? Disanyo, Va'achu es habasar b'layla hazeh. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says, the Pasuk says, you shall eat the meat on this night, referring to Karban Pesach. I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Ne'emar kan b'layla hazeh. V'ne'emar lahalon va'avarti b'Mitzrayim, be'eretz Mitzrayim, b'layla hazeh. It says by Karban Pesach that you shall eat the meat on this night, halayla hazeh. And it says by Makas Bechoros that I will pass through Egypt on this night. Ma lahalan ad chatzos, afkan ad chatzos. Remember again, when does Makas Bechoros occur? Makas Bechoros occurs at midnight, just like Laila Hazeh. By Makas Bechoros means midnight, so too Laila Hazeh by Karban Pesach also means midnight. And therefore, Lamaise, again, you could only eat Karban Pesach until midnight. So therefore, the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah's rule that anything that can be done at night is kasher the entire night comes to rule against the position of Elazar ben Azariah, who says that you can only eat Karban Pesach until Chatzos. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah teaches us, you can eat Karban Pesach the entire night. And I'll just show you quickly, only because of time, take a quick look at Tosus. Tosus says, La'asui achil ha'sochim lo kar Elazar ben Azariah. Mikol makom, so Tosus says, by the way, even though it sounds like over here that the Gemara is saying that what? That the halacha follows, we'll call it the Mishnah, that you could eat Karban Pesach the entire night. So the Tosas says, however, Mikol makom nira the halacha Rabbi Elazar. So Tosas, however, it seems to be that real halacha lemaisa follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and what? Lemaisa, you can only eat Karban Pesach until Chatzos. To ha'ikostama ba'arvei psachim, the kai kava, say this nan, ha'pesach achar Chatzos, with ha'mesai adayim, v'chei Mishnah be'ezum ha'koman, u'stama b'sof parakam in the brachos, gabi ma'asa uba ubanav shobagam. So we'll say again, Tosfos brings a number of different rides, which you're not going to get into now, that seems to support the idea that in fact halacha follows Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that we only eat Karban Pesach until Chatzos. Therefore, says Tosos, v'imkein, why is this important for us? Says Tosos, v'imkein, tzarech lemaher le'echom matzah b'leilei psachim kodem Chatzos. Therefore, says Tosos, although today we do not yet have the Karban Pesach, so therefore, again, we eat matzah in lieu of the Karban Pesach. Therefore, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, one must be careful to make sure to eat their matzah before, says Tosas, one must make sure to go and eat their matzah before Chatzos, va'afilu matzah shel afikoman. That's not just the first kezayis, that's even what? It's even the last kezayis. Sharichiyuv matzah bizman azeh da'oraisa. So because again, since matzah today is da'oraisa, therefore again, it's governed by the laws of Karban Pesach as well. And therefore, it says Tosas, matzah must be finished by Chatzos. But it says Tosas, this only really applies to the biblical mitzvos. But let's say Hallel, or for that matter again, Dalet Kosos as well, that you could do after Chatzos as well. So I'm just pointing out that it's interesting to see over here that as much as our Gemara seems to unequivocally rule that the halacha follows the fact that Karban Pesach can be eaten the entire night, says also just Lamaisa, that's actually not the way we paskin. We pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and that's how that Karban Pesach can go ahead and be eaten until Chatzos, and therefore Lamaisa for us, that's why today, even in the absence of Karban Pesach, we still have to make sure to try to finish our matzah by Chatzos as well. Says the Gemara. So Hadron Allah Hakori Lamafreya. Hakori is a Megillah Omid Vyoshev. So what happens? A person can read the Megillah sitting or standing. Right? Sitting or standing. Kara Echad, Karu Shnaim. Similarly, again, if one person read the Megillah, or if two people read the Megillah, they will say this is talking about Bali Kriya, right? Meaning one person read the Megillah for the Tzibor, or two people read it together. Yatsu, the Aloch Ezri Yotze. We'll see why that is. We'll say why that is. So the Gemara says, Yatsu, Makom Shenahagu Levarich Yivarich. If you live in a place where they have the custom to make a bracha on the Megillah, you should make a bracha. V'shelo Levarich Lo Yivarich. But if you live in a place where the custom is not to make a bracha on the Megillah, then you should not make a bracha. In other words, follow your minhag hamakom. Follow the minhag of where you are. B'sheni u'bechamishi b'Shabbos Mincha, on Monday and Thursday and Shabbos Mincha, Korin Shlosha, we read three Aliyos. Ein pochasin mehen ve'in mosifron. Rabbosai, right? We go ahead and we don't read less, but no hosafas. No hosafas on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos mincha. Look at Rashi. B'sheni b'chamishi b'shabbos mincha. Ezra tikein sheyu korin b'sheni u'b'chamishi b'abakam parak meruba. V'ha'cha shmirin d'shloshin koin levi v'yisrael. Suppose that this was an institution of Ezra already. The truth is it actually already traces its origins back to Moshe Rabbeinu of not going 3 days without communal Talmud Torah. So Ezra solidified this practice by instituting Torah reading on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos Mincha. So the Gemara says, on those days, we read three Aliyos, no more, no less. You can't add on, and you can't detract. Ve'in maftirin b'navi. Furthermore, there's no maftir. Haposeach v'achosim b'torah. Mevarech lefaneo l'achareha. I will say, the person who begins the Aliyos, actually, we'll see how to define this phrase. What it sounds like is the person who opens the reading and the person who closes the reading makes a bracha before the reading and after the reading. We'll define what that means. Brashe chadashim ubecholo shomoid korin arba on Rosh Chodesh and on Cholamoid, we read four aliyos. Ain't pochas in Mehen Rabbah, so you can't read any less than that. Ve'in mosif nalein, but no hosafas. No hosafas. Ve'in maftirin benavi. Similarly, what? Similarly, there is no haftorah. Haposeach va'achosim b'torah mevarech lefanei l'achara. Same idea. The person who, literally, you make a bracha before you read, you make a bracha after you read. I'm purposely defining that in an ambiguous fashion because we'll see in the Gemara what that actually means. So also the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Zakla, this is the rule. Kol sheyish ba musaf ve'ino yom tov. Any day that has musaf, but is not a yom tov. Any day that is musaf and not a yom tov, korin arba. We read four aliyos. So we'll say, the example of that would be Rosh Chodesh, right? And interestingly, it sounds like it's also what? Also Chol HaMoed. So we'll discuss Chol HaMoed a little bit, because Chol HaMoed on one hand really is, but we'll get into that. Korin Arba, B'Yom Tov Chamisha. On Yom Tov we read five Aliyos. B'Yom Kippurim Shisha. And in Yom Kippur, six Aliyos. B'Shabbos Shiva. And on Shabbos we read seven Aliyos. Ein Poch Asim Rabosai. Again, in these situations, we do not go ahead and we do not read less than these allotted. But we add on to them. The Rabbah says, obviously, adding on is not, does not, that phrase is not attached to all of the readings, because we already said that we don't add on Chol HaMoed, and we don't add on Rosh Chodesh, and we don't, so again, so obviously that adding on, we'll see about Yom Kippur, but that adding on seems to be going just on Shabbos. Umaftir and Benavi, and we go ahead and we have a Haftorah, HaBoseach V'Chosim Torah Mevarech Lefanei Olacharel, and they make a bracha at the opening of the Torah and at the closing of the Torah. Okay, so says the Gemara. Tana, Masha'in Kin V'Torah. It will say, that which we learned is not applicable by Kriyas HaTorah. Now, what does that mean? So the Mishnah said that you could read the Megillah either sitting or standing. The Gemara begins by saying that this is not true by Kriyas HaTorah. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Masha'in Kin V'Torah, Shein Korim V'Torah, but Tzibar Miyushav. That when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, it will say, you cannot read the Torah, but Tzibar sitting down. Torah reading must be done standing up. Says the Gemara, Minahani Mili, where do I know this from? I will say that the Torah could only be read standing up. Am Rabbi Avodu, Am Akra Rabbi Hosea, because the Pasuk says, V'ata po amod imadi. I will say that amazing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ata po amod imadi, and you come and stand with me. So this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol is standing and tells Moshe Rabbeinu to stand with him indicates that what? That Torah, now obviously this is talking about by revelation. So remember, Kriyas HaTorah is very much modeled after revelation. So just like revelation was done standing, so too Kriyas HaTorah is done standing. But Rabbi Avo says, El Moli Mikra Kasu of E.F. Shali Omro. Were not for the Pasuk that said it, you almost would not be able to say it. Kivyachol, Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'amida. It almost sounds like that, what is it saying? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is standing and inviting Moshe Rabbeinu to stand with him. Tan Rabbanon, Mimos Moshe V'ad Rabbe Gamliel, Lo Hayu L'meidin Torah Elam Umad. Rabbah say, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, actually quite amazing, until the days of Rabbe Gamliel, they would only learn Torah standing up. Talmud Torah, can you imagine this? Talmud Torah, such a command, imagine that, at this hour of the morning. Right? So they only learned Torah standing up. When Rabbi Gamliel died, we always knew you were a Halig. Now, Mamish, we know. Right? Did I skip a little? Oh, thank you. Bam Rabbi Avo, thank you. Bam Rabbi Avo says, Minayim l'Rav shlo yeshev agabi mito, v'yishan al tamid v'agabi kak. Rabbi says, from where do we know that a Rebbe should not sit literally on the cushions, on the bench? Mita means a bed, but it means, again, that he shouldn't sit on a chair. And he should teach his students while they're sitting on the floor. Meaning, how do we know that the Rebbe should not sit on a higher level than his Talmidim? Rashi points out over here, Ela oshnehem agabe hamita, oshtem agabe karka. Meaning, either everybody should have a chair or everybody should be sitting on the floor. How do we know that they should have the same seating arrangements? Shne'emar va'ata po amodi madi. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and you come and stand with me. The fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu could have told Moshe, stand before me, but he doesn't say that. He says, stand with me, which indicates that Kiviyachol, the Ribbono Shel is standing as well. Tan Rabbanan, thank you. Mimos Moshe Avad Rabbe Gamliel, from days of Moshe to days of Rabbe Gamliel, Lo Hagil Meidin Torah Elam Umad, they would only learn Torah standing up, Mishem, out of Kavod HaTorah. Mishem Es Rabbe Gamliel, Yarad Choli Liolon. We'll say when Rabbe Gamliel died, literally sickness. And when here it means more weakness. Weakness descended to the world. V'hayu lemeidin Torah miyushav. And that's when we began to learn Torah sitting down. V'hayinu disnan, this is what it means when it says in the Mishnah, Mishemes Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel died, batal kavod Torah. Honor for the Torah died with him. In other words, that apparently when Rabbi Gamliel died, so his absence created such a profound mark on the generation that literally there was like a weakness. In his absence, there was like a weakness in the community of Torah to the point that some people started learning Torah sitting down. Kasuv Echad Omer, one pasuk says, Ve'ishev Bahar. One pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I sat on the mountain. V'kasav achad omer v'anochi amarati bahar. And one pasuk says, I stood on the mountain. So which one was it? Did Moshe Rabbeinu sit or did Moshe Rabbeinu stand? Amarav Omed Valomed Yoshev Vishona. So Rav says it means that Moshe Rabbeinu would stand and learn, meaning he would stand when he was being taught something by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he would sit down to review. So he would stand to receive information, sit down to review. Rav Chanina Amar, Lo Omid Velo Yoshev, Ela Shocha. So Rav Chanina said, no, he wasn't standing, he wasn't sitting, rather what was he doing? He was bowing. So interesting, so that's how they reconcile it. So one pasuk says standing, one pasuk says sitting. How do you reconcile those two? He was bowing. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ein yeshiva el lashna kava." Rabbi Yochanan says, "No, you have it all wrong. Yeshiva doesn't mean to sit. Yeshiva means what? To dwell somewhere." Shina emar vateishu b'kali shomim rabim. That's what it means. Vayeshu. So really, he stood. I said, "What does it mean?" Vanochi yashavti bahar. It means that I stayed on the mountain. So this is Rav Am Rava says, "Rakos muumad the kashos miyusha." Rava says, "Very interesting." Rava says, "No. They would call it." The easy parts, the easy items, Moshe Rabbeinu learned standing up, but those things that were more difficult and required more concentration, Moshe Rabbeinu learned sitting down. Interesting. Karush Naim Yasu. So the Mishnah says, whether one person or two people read the Megillah, they are Yotze. Says the Gemara Tana, Masha'in King Batorah. Tana Masha'in King Batorah. Now again, remember what the Gemara now is saying over here is that Lamaisa, by Kriyas HaMegillah you could have two people reading, but by Kriyas HaTorah you may not. By Kriyas HaTorah you could only have one person reading at a time. And the Rebbe said this is talking about the public reading. Tana Rabbana, we learned in Ebraisa, we learned. But Torah Echad Korev Echad Matagir. So when it comes to Torah, one person could read and one person could translate. But you may not have one person reading and two people translating. So also remember again, in the days of the Gemara, they had what's called the Torgamon. So Torgamon was a person who was up there by the Baal Korei and goes ahead, so the Baal Korei would read the Pasuk or a couple of Pasukim, however it worked, and the Torgamon would then literally explain it to people. So again, just, next time you complain about how long shul is, right? Just remember, we could always reinstitute this practice. Right? So what happens? So it's amazing, because remember also, you have to understand something. We live in such a different world. Just think about, again, our access to information now versus previous generations. So in previous generations, how people had limited access to information. So how did a person learn, what to do, what not to do in their Judaism? So the truth is, again, if somebody was a Talmud Chacham, they learned on their own. But for the common man, they came to shul on Shabbos, the Torgamon would get up there, tell them about the parsha, tell them the mitzvot, and that's how they learned. So the halacha is, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, you can only have one Baal Korei and one Meturgamon. But I will say, the reason for that is because when it comes to Torah, you have to hear both the psukim as well as the translation/understanding in a clear fashion. We're concerned that what? When there's more than one person reading or more than one person translating, the principle we're going to advance is trei koli lo mishtamayin. Two voices can't be heard. Because what happens? If two people are doing something together, it's difficult for them to speak at the same level, same tone, same speed, and something could end up getting lost, getting garbled up. Therefore, by Torah, where it's of utmost importance that you hear not just the words, but you hear the understanding, one person read, one person in mitargim. Uben Navi, when it comes to Navi, Echad Kori, Ushnai mitargimin. So I'll say when it comes to Navi, again, you need one Baal Korei. You need one Baal Korei, Lemaise, again, because we want to make sure that everybody hears the words clearly. However, again, you could have two people translate. Why, Rabosai? Look at Rashi, bless you. So he says, "Benavi echad, afilu echad korei shnei matagim." Shatargum eino ela lashmir lenashim va'ami ha'aretz she'ina makir b'lashon hakodesh. Well, so here's the difference. Navi is written in the vernacular. Navi is written in Hebrew. Therefore, again, people could, the assumption is people even with a basic education basically could understand Navi. So therefore, who is the Targum for? So Rashi points out for women and for people who were not knowledgeable. Women weren't necessarily generally educated. Right? So therefore, again, the Targum is not as essential. Also by Navi, there's no real halacha by Navi. Navi is the story. Therefore, Lemaisa, again, we're not as concerned as if you don't hear every single word of the Targum. Therefore, you can even have two people doing the Targum. But we don't want two people reading because you want the reading itself to be absolutely clear. So we'll say again. So far you see, by Torah, one person reading, one person translating. By Navi, one person reading to make sure that the psukim are absolutely clear. Two people, you could have two people translating. Now, again, obviously, you don't have to have two people translating, but if for some reason you want to do a translating duet, technically speaking, you could do that. You can do that. All right. Uba halal uba megillah. When it comes to halal and the megillah, afilu asara korin va'asara metargimin. And we'll say it's very interesting. When it comes to halal and megillah, you could have even 10 people reading it, let's say on behalf leading the tzibur, and 10 people translating. Right? Why, why are halal and megillah different than Navi and Torah? And this is really amazing. My time, what's the reason? Kevan de chaviva yahavi datayu vishami. Because Rabbi Yossi, you know, what's the issue over here? The issue over here is what we call trei koli lo mishtamoin, that two voices can't necessarily be heard at the same time. So what's going to end up happening is what? That lamaisa, you're going to hear like a cacophony of sound. Because again, the voices aren't going to line up exactly. So what happens? That's only true with something that that lamaisa is doesn't grab your attention. But things that grab your attention, a person strains their ear to be able to hear, and we are confident that they will be able to hear both the actual reading of the item as well as what? As the proper translation. Therefore, the Gemara says, Halal and Megillah are things that people find exciting. And when people find it exciting, we know that as many people as reading and as many people are translating, people will hear what they need to hear. Just so, so interesting. Also, just an interesting thing in general about, there's a concept in the Gemara about Ein Adam Lomid Elamash Libo Chafetz. A person only learns that which his heart desires. You know, if you're excited about something, then by definition, your heart and your mind is open to it. If you're not excited about it, then by definition, it takes a little bit more effort, it has to add a little bit more strain to be able to ingest that information. So what comes out from this swig is the following. Kriyas HaTorah, one Baal Korei, one Torgamon. One person reading, one person translating. Navi, one person reading, two people, you could have more than one translating. Create Megillah Halal, even multiple people reading, multiple people translating. Malkom Shinagu Levarich Yivarich. So remember again, the Mishnah said, Lemaisa, if you live in a place where the custom is to make a bracha on the Megillah, you can do so. But if the minhag is not to make a bracha, you don't do so. Amra Baye Lo Shano Allah Chareham. When do we say that making a bracha is dependent on minhag makom? That's with making a bracha after the reading of the Megillah. Ava lefaneha, but before the reading of the Megillah, mitzvah levarich. But Rabbi say everybody agrees that what? Before the reading of the Megillah, there is certainly a mitzvah to make a bracha. Do'am Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvos kulon, all mitzvos, mevarich alehen over la'asiyasan. Rabbi say all mitzvos are what? All mitzvos you make a bracha prior to their performance. Prior to their performance, my mashma da hai over lishna dak dumehu. The Rabbi say again, how do we know? Let's go back for a second. So what the Gemara is telling me is like this. The only time that there's a differentiation in minhag makom is with the after bracha, the bracha after the reading. But everyone agrees that you should make a bracha before you read the Megillah. Why? Because that's based on a halachic principle that all mitzvos, you make a bracha over la'asiyasan. The Rabbi say, we're assuming, what does over la'asiyasan mean? Prior to the performance. It says the Gemara, how do you know that the word over means before? How do you know it means before? The Gemara says, Amrav Nachem Bar Yitzchok Amakra Vayoratz Achim Ma'atz Aderech HaKikar Vaya'avar Es HaKushi. Achim Ma'atz ran across the plain, and Vaya'avar Es HaKushi. Now, also remember, this actually, we learned this in Navi not so long ago. This is by the death of Avshalom, when Achim Ma'atz wanted to be the one who delivered the news to David that Avshalom was killed. So what happens? So he says, Vaya'avar Es HaKushi. He passed the Kushi. So what do you see from here? That Vaya'avar means what? To come before something else. So over la'asiyasa means that you make the bracha before the actual performance of the mitzvah. Abai says from here, v'hu over lifnehem. He went before them. So again, these are just different psukim that prove the idea that the lashon of over means to come before something. V'ibai say mehacha, others say from here, v'ya'avar malkam lifnehem, v'ashem berasham. Vashem Barasham. So the Gemara is fine. So we'll say now we've established that what? That Lamaisa, the Lashon of Over, means before. We've also established that Lamaisa, you now, everybody agrees that you're going to go to make a bracha prior to the reading of the Megillah. And whether or not to make a bracha after the Megillah is dependent on Minagamachom. Lifaneha Mai Mevarech. So what bracha do you make before you read the Megillah? Rav Sheshes Mekatrazia. So one time Rav Sheshes of Katrazi came before Ravashi, Ubarich Manach, and he made the following bracha. So we'll say Manach stands for Amikra Megillah. Amikra Megillah. Nun is Sha'asa Nisim, and Ches is Shehechianu. So he made those with the three brachas. Manach, Rashi, Amikra Megillah, V'Sha'asa Nisim, V'Shehechianu. Those are the three brachas that you make prior to the reading of the Megillah. And we'll say that, of course, is Halacha L'Maisa. La'achareha Mai Mevarech. What about, what bracha do we make after the reading? Excuse me. Thank you. Excuse me. What bracha do we make after the reading of the Megillah? Meaning in those places where there would be a minhag to go ahead and make a bracha after the reading, what is that bracha? So the Gemara is like this. Mai Mevarech, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Baruch Hu, you are the source of all bracha. Haraves Rivenu, the one who fights our fight, V'Adonis Dinenu, who judges or adjudicates our judgments, V'Anoke Masnikma Seinu, avenges our vengeance, V'Hanifra Lanu Mitzarenu, and exacts retribution from those who afflict us, V'Hamishalem Gemul L'Chol Avei Nafshinu, and literally gives back, repays in abundance to all of the enemies of our soul. Baruch Atu Hashem, Hanifra Li Yisrael Mikol Tzarehem. Blessed to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch, who takes us, who redeems us from, or takes us away from all of our suffering. Okay, that's the bracha. Rava Amar Rava says, no, Hakel HaMoshia. Rava says, interesting enough, the bracha is that you, Hashem, are the one who has redeemed us. So the Gemara says, Amra Papa, Hilchach Namrinu L'Tarvayu. Easy enough, Rabbi said, let's make everybody happy. Let's say both brachas. Baruch Atu Hashem, Hanifra Li Yisrael Mikol Tzarehem, Hakel HaMoshia. Blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the source of all blessing, who literally goes ahead and saves or redeems the Jewish people from their suffering, the God who redeems. So we'll say, and that is Halacha L'Maisa. That's the bracha we say after the Megillah itself, which interestingly enough is also a compromise, but it incorporates two different shitos. And again, wherever there is the minhag to make the bracha after the Kriyas HaMegillah, this is the bracha that's used. Halacha L'Maisa, everyone agrees that you have to make a bracha prior to the reading of the Megillah, because that's just under the umbrella of the general concept of Kala Brachos, Kala Mitzvos, Mevarchin Alein Over La'asiyasan. And wherever there is a minhag, if you live in a locale where there's a minhag to make a bracha after the reading of the Megillah, here is the bracha that is made. B'sheni b'chamishi b'shabbos mincha korin shlosha. On Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos mincha, we read three aliyos. So the Gemara says, Hani shlosha keneged mi? Why three? Why three? Amravasi keneged tornavim uksuvim. It corresponds to three sections of Torah, tornavim uksuvim. Rava Amrava says, no, keneged kohanim levim yisraelim. Corresponds kohanim levim yisraelim, ela hadani Rav Simi, but I, that which Rav Simi said, ein pochasin miyur psukim, b'reisak nesas, v'yidaber ola min aminyon, hani asor keneged. So we'll say, now we've established that three aliyos corresponds either tornavim uksuvim, kohanim levim yisraelim, fine. Next, we know that when there's a Kriyas HaTorah, let's say on a Monday, Thursday, Shabbos Mincha, with this three aliyos, you can't read less than 10 psukim. There's always a minimum, you know what I'm saying? Meaning, even though, interestingly enough, the minimum for an aliyah we'll see is 3 psukim, but as a section, as a unit of reading, we don't read less than 10 psukim. Where does that come from? And furthermore, Vaidabra Olam in Amin. I'll say, what does that mean? That the pasuk of Vaidabra Hashem Moshe Lemor counts as one of the 10. I guess the Havamina is that perhaps should not count. It's not a real pasuk, right? This shouldn't really count. Kamashma, no, it does count as one of the 10. So the Gemara says, Hani Asar Kenegin Mi. Where do we get that from? Meaning, why is 10 significant? Amr of Yoshua ben Levi, Keneged Asara Batlonen Shebesak Nesas. This corresponds to the 10 Batlan. We saw the Batlan a little bit earlier on. This refers to the 10 men who fully devote themselves to the... Remember, we saw the Machlok is exactly what they do. Are they like the Kodal, the community Kodal that's there? Are they there to help out with the needs of the Tzibor? Whatever it is, they're 10 men who are devoted to the needs of the community. It's actually quite beautiful. quite beautiful, that Lamaisa, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the 10 psukim we read in the Torah correspond to the Asara Batlan, the 10 men who ensure that the spiritual needs of the community are met. Quite a beautiful idea. Rav Yosef says, "Can I get Aser Tzadibros? Shene Emru the Moshe Misinai." No, 10 psukim correspond to what? To the 10 commandments that were said to Moshe Aminu Har Sinai. Rabbi Levi, Amar Levi says, "Kineged asara hilulin sha'amar David b'sefer Tehillim." The 10 corresponds to the 10 halalukas that David HaMelech said in Tehillim. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, "Kineged asara ma'amoros shebahen nivra olam." The 10 psukim correspond to the 10 utterances with which God created the world. So the Gemara says, "Hey ninhu, vayomer debrachus." It will say, "What are the 10 utterances that God created the world with?" Every time in the Bereishis story it says, Vayomer Elokim, Yehi this, Yehi that, Yehi or, Yehi Rakia. So that those are the utterances of which Kodesh Baruch created the world. So there's only one problem, which is Hani Tishahavu. There aren't 10. There are only 9. There are only 9 Vayomers which created stuff in the beginning of the creation story. So what do you do now? The Gemara says, No, it's very interesting. Bereishis Nami Ma'amarhu. I will say the statement of Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz, that is also a statement of creation. So 9 Vayomers, 1 Bereishis, altogether represent 10 utterances of creation. Dechsev, Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, Uberuach Piv Kol Tzva'am. Literally, with the word of God, the heavens were created, and with the breath of God's mouth, all of the hosts. So it's actually quite beautiful. So the idea is that when it says Bereishis Bara Elokim, that by definition, and by the way, you should know, actually the Ramban points this out. The Ramban says that Bereishis Bara Elokim is actually a statement of what? What the Ramban calls Hiyuli, matter. Matter. According to the Ramban, what was created in the beginning of the parasha was matter. God created matter, and then again He created. That was the only act of Yeshua, something from nothing. And once God created matter, the rest of creation was what? Was a manipulation of matter to go ahead and create new things from that matter. Without getting, it was an evolution of matter. Because Baruch Hu caused the matter to evolve into other things over the course of creation. So that's where the 10 psukim come from. Fine, says the Gemara. Amara, listen to this. It's interesting also because these are things that we do day in and day out, and it's interesting to see just where they come from. So Amarava, Rishon Shikara Dalin Meshubach. So we'll say, here's what we know. So now that we've established that Lamaisa, 10 psukim is the minimum of a unit of Kriya, here's what we know. And there are 3 readers. Well, we know the breakdown is going to be what? 3, 3, 4. So the Shaila is going to be, who gets the 4? Where should we put the 4? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rishon Shikar Dalad Meshubach. Rava says that if the first aliyah does 4 psukim, very praiseworthy. Shini Shikar Dalad Meshubach. If the second guy does, right, the Levi, we'll call it the Levi, does it, it's Meshubach, it's praiseworthy. Shlishi Shikar Dalad Meshubach. And by the way, if Shlishi does it, it's also praiseworthy. So in other words, what Rava is saying is, if the first one does it, it's very praiseworthy. The second one does it, it's very praiseworthy. And the third one does it, it's very praiseworthy. So first of all, very helpful. So the Gemara is like this. First of all, we're going to now show why it's praiseworthy. So the Gemara says, Rishon Shekara Dalin Meshubach. If the first one does it, it's praiseworthy. Why? This none, because we're both saying, back in our Shkolim days, Bishalosh Kupos Shalshalosh Sein Shebahen Tarmenes Alishka Vayikasev Aleim Aleph Beis Gimel Leida Eza Mehen Nitrama Rishon Lahakriv Mimena Rishon Shemitzva Berishon. Our both say, what does the Gemara say? That, remember, for the new half Shkolim, they had 3 receptacles, each of the same size. They wrote Aleph Beis Gimel on the 3 receptacles. And where would they take the Shkolim from first? From the Aleph. So what do you see from here? You see from here that Rishon Meshubach, that the Rishon, the first, is always important. If the first is important, then what? Then in the Siddur, therefore it makes sense that where should I read the 4 psukim of the Kriya? In the first Aliyah. On the other hand, Emtsa Shekara Arba'a Meshubach, how do we know that Rabbi say if the second Olaf, the second Aliyah, read 4, that's praiseworthy, which is another way of saying, how do we know that not only the first one is important, but the second one is important as well? This Anya, Al Mul Pnei HaMenorah, Ya'iru, Ya'iru, Ya'iru. The Pasuk says, to the middle of the menorah will the 7 lamps be lit. What does that mean? Melamed shemetzadit pneim klapei ner maravi. V'ner ma'aravi klapei shechina. Rabbah says, listen to how beautiful this is. The way it worked on the menorah is, they would take the wicks. The wicks, you see, we, you know, so some of us may use like wicks for our menorahs. So, you know, we have like those floating wicks. So they didn't have obviously floating wicks in the Beis HaMikdash. So the wick itself, by definition, is placed against one side of the cup, of the receptacle that holds the oil. They would place the wicks pointing towards the middle candle. Such a beautiful image. So all of the wicks pointed towards the middle. And the middle candle pointed towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, from here we see that what? Mikan She'em Tzoy Meshubach. From here we see that the middle is praiseworthy because all of the candles pointed towards the middle. So we'll say that would be an argument to do what? To give who the four Pesukim? The middle one. So now we see one argument. So again, we see Rishon is Meshubach. You should give him the four Pesukim. Now we've demonstrated Sheni is Meshubach. Second is praiseworthy. Give him the four Pesukim. The Acharon Shekara Arba Meshubach. And if the last one read four Pesukim, that's also praiseworthy. Why? Mishum Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'in Moridin. Because V'lo Moridin. Because we'll say, what do we see in general? When it comes to matters of holiness, we go in an ascent. Therefore, I will say, it would make sense to say, do three, and what? Do the last one as four. So we'll say, now what you've just done is we've advanced very beautiful arguments as to why each of the Aliyos should go ahead and get the four. The Shaila now, of course, is what? So who gets it? To which the Gemara answers, Rav Papa Ikla LeBeknishta Da Abi Govar. So we'll say, Rav Papa went to the basement, to the shul of Abi Govar. Abi Govar is Bepashtos, a person. Vikara Rishon Arba V'Shavchi Rav Papa. Let's listen to this. And they read four Pesukim for the first Aliyah, and Rav Papa praised this practice. So we'll say, this is amazing in general, that you see over here that what? Even after we advance all of the interesting, you know, halachic arguments, at the end of the day, what we often look for when deciding halacha is what? What was done? So what happened in the shul of Rav Papa, the shul of Abi Govar Rav Papa was, the first Ole read four Pesukim, and Rav Papa said, Shkoyach. For sure, with the eye also, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, right, he gave him a shkayach for that. It's a good practice. Seems to the fact that Rav Papa signed off on the first Ola reading for Pesukim indicates to us that indeed that is the way to go. So the Gemara goes weiter. We'll say, let's just do a little bit weiter and then we'll stop. So the Gemara says the following: Ein pochus in mehen ve'in mosifin. So again, remember, we do not go ahead and read any less than the Aliyos, and we don't add on. So we'll say, remember again, it seems to be that in the original form of Kriyas HaTorah, they made two brachos. The person who got the first Aliyah made the first bracha. The person who got the last Aliyah made the after bracha. So the Gemara says the following: V'ha'idna dekulu mevarchi lefanao lacharehah. And but nowadays, each and every ole makes a bracha before his Aliyah and a bracha after his Aliyah. Why? M'hayinu taima detakin rabbanon gezeira mishum hanichnas and mishum hayotzen. Rabbi, say, why did the rabbis change this practice? They changed it because of those who come in late and those who go ahead and leave early. What does it mean, Abbas? Now listen to this. If you only had a practice of making one bracha, let's say the Kohen makes a bracha before his Aliyah, and the Yisrael makes a bracha after his Aliyah. Those are the bookend brachos. So what's going to happen? If someone comes in late, meaning after the Kohen made the bracha, what is he going to assume? He's going to assume that there is no bracha that is made prior to Kriyas HaTorah. Abbas, it's interesting. General klal in human nature is that people assume that unequivocal truth is based on what? Based on what I know, right? What I know creates absolute truth. If I don't know it, it's not true. So if somebody walks in late and they didn't hear, obviously they missed the beginning of the Aliyah, and therefore again they didn't hear a bracha, the automatic conclusion they're going to reach is what? Is that there's no bracha before Kriyas HaTorah. And if someone goes ahead and leaves early, what's going to happen? Remember again, when I say leave early, it means they leave before the end of the Kriya. Therefore what? Therefore the Maaseh, they're going to assume there's no bracha after the Kriya. Therefore, in order to avoid any time, and we'll discuss why this is a problem for people. I mean, who cares? What do people think that way? What does it matter? We'll see tomorrow why it matters. But Lamais, again, in order to avoid any level of confusion, Chazal felt it best to be able to institute a bracha before and after each Aliyah. All right, so we'll pick up with this in Miras Hashem tomorrow.
Even though he came in late.
I'm sorry? Even though he came in late.